Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and I'd like to welcome you to the show. On today's episode, I want to go through and do a quick defensive preview. I know the offensive preview ran way long. I don't know that you guys want to hear me talk for an hour, but you know, when you got a lot of information to share, I dug up a lot of stats and stuff that I thought you guys would enjoy. It just takes a while to kind of get it all out there. But defense, we'll go ahead and get into the preview. I do like what this defense has the potential to bring this year. Obviously, they started out rough up until about halftime at Louisville. And honestly, it looked like Fuller may have even been coaching for his job at some point, because if they had kept going at the rate they were going, I just don't know where you justified not making a change. But then they really ended the season well. I think they have a lot of momentum to build on going into the season. Of course, you have to account that you lose Jermaine Johnson and Keir Thomas, and Jermaine was such a dominant player. He influenced a lot of games for Florida State. He was a leader for this defense, both on and off the field. His work ethic was second to none, and there's going to be some big shoes to fill, and I think they're going to have a hard time doing it, especially when you have another guy on the other side of him, Keir Thomas, who's also putting together a very solid season of his own. And when you combine them together, we saw for the first time in a long time, Florida State have a legit pass rush, especially off the ends. And it made such an influence on the season, I feel like, because imagine if you hadn't had those two ends playing for you last year. This defense, it would have been probably a much worse season than what we did see. They do have some guys. They return a lot of guys, which is a good thing. They return a lot of their production. They have an opportunity for some guys to step in and fill those roles, and they have some guys that I'm excited about. Naturally, you don't expect the same amount of production from those two, but that doesn't mean you still can't have a solid front, solid defensive ends. You do have some veterans and some new guys that I'm excited about. When we go over the stats on defense, so scoring defense, they gave up an average of 26.5 points per game, which was 74th in the country. Rushing defense, they allowed 144.6 yards per game, which was 55th. Passing was 233.2 yards at 74th. Total offense, they allowed 377.8 yards per game average, which was 66th. I mean, so far, you know, the rankings aren't that great, but take into account a lot of the offenses that they had to face last year. There was multiple top 25 offenses they had to face. Lots of good quarterbacks. Continuing down the list, their EPA per pass rank was 87th. EPA per rush rank was 16th. So they had a pretty good rushing defense. Havoc rate was 26, which was good. Pressure rate was 36. I mean, you know, those two had a lot to do with Jermaine Johnson on his own. They were terrible on third downs. I'm really on both sides of the ball. Offense wasn't much better. But on defense, they only got off the field 43.4% of the time, which was 104th in the country. Tackles for loss per game, 7.2 average, which was 13th. And that's a good number. Again, a lot of that had to do with the number 11. Sacks were 35th at 33 on the season. Interceptions, 14. For 26 in the country. Their F plus rank, which is like the FRMRAU ranking and the S&P plus ranking combined, was 39th. Their average starting field position was 31.8, and that was 112th in the country. So they kind of got put in some tough positions a lot, and a lot of that had to do with how bad FSU was on third downs and the offensive struggles they had and the special team struggles they had of their own. Efficiency, they were 35th at 39.3%. Yards per play allowed, their average was 5.3, which was 30th. Finishing drives, they were 61st in the country. Red zone defense, they were 7th in the country, which was excellent. This team was very good in the red zone on both sides of the ball as well. Offense was good too. Fourth down conversions allowed, 47.8%, 51st in the country. So you can see here that the defense does have a lot of room to improve, but I think what we saw over the season, you did see a lot of that improvement, and the numbers are probably skewed from what happened early on in the season. And like we said, keep in mind that they did play a lot of tough offenses. I know Miami was a top 10 passing offense. Wake Forest was as well. Louisville has a very good offense. Of course, you know, NC State was another good offense. So I think that, unfortunately, the slow start in the beginning really cost them getting on that 0-4 run, and you almost hated to see that type of start happen when you had a guy like Jermaine Johnson. He carried a lot of the performances, but you almost feel like you wish you'd have had him for a little more successful season. Man, if he could just come back for one more year, it would have been amazing, but that's water under the bridge now. So, again, lots of room to improve. I'm not sold on Fuller yet, but I think he's a good coordinator. I think he knows more about the game. He's more of a student of the game than people think they maybe give him credit for. They just had some holes. They had to figure some things out. They had some talent deficits, some position groups that were just underperforming, and it was hard to install things during COVID and whatnot. So once they also brought on Randy Shannon, who's now the full-time linebackers coach, and they let him have some influence on the defense as well, that's when you really saw some things pick up. So that's why I think I'm also excited about this year, because he's now linebackers coach and co-DC. Now, you may have your opinion on his past performances as a DC or even a head coach, which is fine, but you can't deny the influence that he had on the defense last year once he started getting more involved. So that's something positive to look out for this year. And really, despite even the slow start, when you looked at Pro Football Focus, the Florida State defense ranked in top 10 in Power 5 unit grade in 2021, and they're projected to do the same this year. So even despite the start, the finish that we saw, which is what we hope for them to build on, was successful enough to get them a top 5 unit grade in Power 5 football. Unfortunately, this year, it seems like almost every good quarterback that they had to face is back again. You have Devin Leary at NC State's back. Malik Cunningham at Louisville is back. Of course, there's a lot of developments happening too right now, like Sam Hartman. We don't know if he's going to be present for this game or not, and that makes a huge difference of what this defense is going to have to face in the Wake Forest game. You have, LSU. I don't think their offense is really that prolific, but you know, Anthony Richardson at Florida could turn out to be a decent quarterback. You're going to have a lot of challenges for this team this year. But one thing, if you go listen to the schedule breakdown episode that I'm going to put out right after this, which also contains like my win-loss projection, when you really look at some of these offenses who were prolific last year, there's a lot of pieces that are missing, a lot of question marks, a lot of things that could skew the production. And for instance, like, look at Louisville. They have a very talented quarterback in Malik Cunningham who's going to put up a challenge for Florida State. And in the first half of their game, I mean, they were smoking this defense, and then they ended up shutting them out in the second half, which was very impressive. And Cunningham, to me, is a very underrated quarterback, but he lost three of his top five targets to the portal this offseason. So How is he going to be able to repeat? Van Dyke at Miami. He has two receivers missing, both top receivers. One was, a 1,000-yard receiver, who were very good veteran receivers for them. You bring in now a coach and an offensive coordinator who have a history of running the ball more than throwing the ball. They're a run-heavy offense. So how does that project for Miami? Sam Hartman may not even be present for this game against Florida State this year, as he's out with they haven't said anything what it is, but some kind of medical condition, which we wish him a speedy recovery for. And so you do have some tests, but there's a lot of question marks too, and I think that provides an opportunity for this defense to be even better this year. And I do think that they're more experienced and they're more solid across the board, obviously taking into account you're missing two big time splash players. So with that being said, we'll get into a position-by-position preview. We're going to start up front with a defensive line. We'll just go through like some of the impact players and just how I think they'll perform overall. So on the defensive line, which we obviously know everybody thinks is going to be the strength of this team this year, of course your impact players start in the middle, obviously. You have Robert Cooper, who is a veteran player for you. He's been on the team for a long time. He's been a solid performer for multiple years now. Still kind of looking for that real breakout season, but last year was a very good one for him. You also have Fabian Lovett, who is an outstanding player in the middle. And these two are going to be one of the better defensive tackle duos in the conference. Now, take into account, there's a lot of good teams or a lot of good defensive lines this year. NC State is one. Clemson is one. So if they're not number one in the conference, that doesn't mean they're still not a really good defensive interior and they still can't be top 25 like type of defensive line in the country. There's just a lot of other good lines out there, especially in the ACC this year. So when you look at Robert Cooper, in 2021, he played 12 games, 472 snaps. He graded out PFF at 74.6, and with 60 being kind of like you walk on the field and you go up or down from there. I don't put a ton of weight in the PFF, but you can tend to see the better players grade higher and the worst players grade lower. So, I mean, it's pretty much accurate. So you also have to take into account, it depends. You could play not many snaps and have a really high grade, and this larger sample size set that you have could bring you up or down. So just keep that in mind. But his PFF grade was 74.6. He had 39 tackles, 4.5 for loss, half a sack. He's not a big sack producer. He's more of a space eater, run stopper, but he did get a lot better last year. He had 23 defensive stops, and when you look at Robert Cooper as far as his run stopping ability goes, he finished top three in the ACC in rush defense grade, rush stops, run tackles for loss, and positively graded run play rate. So, I mean, he's really good against the run. Obviously, that has a lot to do with his size and his power. You know, he'll draw double teams, and he'll just, like we said, he's a good space eater. I think he's a little more athletic this year, which I do like. You see, he races Norvell every other day in practice, so I think that he may get better as a pass rusher too, which is the next thing I want to touch on. He is getting better as a pass rusher with using his size and power. In 2021, he had a pass rush win rate at 12.9%, which was nearly double his career best. So he is still he's progressing as a pass rusher. He's already a good run stopper. He's experienced. He's got size. He's got power. And, you know, his nickname is Trench Monster, and I expect him to be a monster in the trenches this year, and especially when you consider he's got a guy next to him like Fabian Lovett, who we'll touch on next. And so when you look at Fabian Lovett in 2021, he played 11 games, 489 snaps. PFF grade was only 63.3, but I almost feel like Fabian Lovett is probably the best defensive tackle that you have, especially when you project out NFL. He's kind of that long, a little leaner. He's a penetrating type guy. He can bust through the line, get you some TFLs, and get you more sacks. I know he's dealt with some injury over his career, but I think this is his money year, and he knows that. He came back. He didn't have to come back. And I think he wants to have a big year, and I think he will, especially when you look at who he's lining up next to. So it's not like he's just probably going to get double teamed all the time. And so I just love his play style. He's experienced. He's got a good skill set, and he just plays violent. Like he's the type that he'll make that splash play tackle in the backfield. I really like watching him play, and I really think it's going to be a big year for him. He had 28 tackles last year. His tackles for loss were 4.5, sacks were 2, and defensive stops were 17. I do expect those numbers to be a good bit higher this year. Behind those two, you have a couple of guys that have flashed in the past, maybe are not the most consistent players, definitely have talent, I think would start at multiple ACC teams, but they also would not see the field on a few ACC teams. But they're still good players who can be very solid for you. They're still big guys who can play the position well, but you do have a drop-off in experience and talent from the ones to the twos. So it is vital that this duo stays healthy and available this year, because a lot of the defensive success is going to rely on them. When you look at who the next probably three guys that I think are going to be in line to make an impact, you obviously have Malcolm Ray. He's been in the system for a few years now, and he did have a lot of flashes last year. His PFF grade was okay. He came in at 62.1, And he did play 291 snaps in 10 games. So he does have a good bit of experience. Looks like he finished with 19 tackles, 2 sacks. And, I mean, like I said, he's probably one of your third guys in the rotation. The next guy, obviously, that you're going to jump to is going to be Jarrett Jackson, someone that we just kind of been waiting to develop. The staff has been high on him. They really think that he can make an impact this year. He did play in 10 games last season, 196 snaps. Like I said, we haven't seen a whole lot of him, but they really do. They feel like if they can get him to really commit to the process, that he can be a plus player for them. PFF grade last year was 71. He had 19 total tackles last season, and looks like he had 1 sack, 6 pressures. And so, I mean, you know, he didn't get a whole lot of action. He didn't really see a ton of snaps, but, I mean, he is now experienced. I mean, 200 snaps is a pretty good amount, especially for a rotational player. And I just like what he returns. He is a big guy, and he can definitely be a contributor. You have a young guy behind him, Joshua Farmer, who his development is now coming along. Obviously, with young guys, especially in the trenches, it usually takes a little while for them to be ready to play at this level. And so you don't really have a ton of production. He played in 4 games, 39 snaps. PFF grade was 68.1. Really not a whole lot of stats, but the staff is super high on him. And, I mean, come on, if you don't trust Odell's evaluation, what are you doing? You know, this guy is put so many people in the NFL. If Odell thinks they like him, then I'm going to trust his opinion. And so you have a good group of at least about 4 guys there that you like at the position. Now, with that said, you do like your first 4, but there's not a whole lot behind that to really rely on. So you got 4 to 5 guys with a pretty big talent and experience drop-off between the 1s and the 2s. So you really need this group to stay healthy. And if they can, I think they can be a dominant group. But it's all going to rely on how far they have to get into the depth chart, because it is, you know, it is a drop-off. And you do have some dominant guys at the top of the list, but that list isn't very long. When you move outside to the ends, you have Dennis Briggs, who got injured last year, unfortunately. He was already having a good season. He suffered a season-ending injury in the Louisville game. They said he's back and at 100% now. He's projected to be the starter. And, I mean, they're really high on what he can do. And when you look at what he was able to do last season, statistically, he was definitely a plus player in his short amount of time that he was on the field. He played 194 snaps across 4 games. His PFF grade was the second highest behind Jermaine Johnson at 76.3. He had 14 pressures, 1 sack, and it looks like he only had about 6 tackles. But again, you know, he would miss most of the season, but he really can be a special player for them. He has an ability. A lot of people are very high on Briggs, and I do think he can have a good season returning from the injury, and hopefully he just gets back to his old self, which I think he'll be pretty good. I think Briggs can even slide inside for you if you need him. I mean, he's 6'4", 280 pounds, so he's definitely a bigger guy that if you maybe go into a pass set, he can slide inside. So Briggs will be a plus player for them this year. Hopefully he can stay healthy all season. On the other side of him, you have Derek McClendon, who was also a solid player for FSU. Obviously, a lot of the ends, they weren't going to get a ton of playing time behind guys like Jermaine Johnson and Keir Thomas. They were going to get a majority of the snaps. But Derek McClendon did play in all 12 games. He has 297 snaps. He did grade out a 65.3, which is just above average. He had 16 total pressures, 5 sacks, and let's see, he had 13 total tackles. So, I mean, he was a productive player for Florida State. He does return the most sacks of anybody on the team, on the defensive line, of course. And so he's going to be your other starting defensive end. He's experienced. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's been around the program for a while. 6'4", 245 pounds. More of that speed rush in, which I think they're going to have a productive season. He is starting over Jared Verse, which I know a lot of people are very high on Jared Verse, or at least very excited about him. He's that trash talker. He's got the attitude. He looks to beat a part. In my opinion, he'll probably be the starter by the end of the season. I mean, he has an insane amount of production. It's just currently at the FCS level, and we're not sure how that's going to translate. But keep in mind, the way the staff even found him was when they were scouting the Syracuse film and they saw him just dominating against Syracuse. And, I mean, of course, if you can see him dominate against Syracuse, that's one of your opponents. So if he can do it against them for Albany, who, of course, you would expect him to be able to do it at Florida State as well. Now, he may have some adjustment period when it comes to some of the better offensive lines, because obviously Syracuse was not very good at blocking last year either, which is something we cover in our breakdown of the schedule. That's one of their weaknesses, but he still, I mean, when you get some sort of Power 5 sample set and he's productive, that's good. He has played at Albany in 2021, 11 games, 500 snaps. His PFF grade was great. It was 83.3, 52 tackles, 11.5 tackles for loss, 9.5 sacks, 25 defensive stops. This dude was unstoppable at Albany. Again, that doesn't mean it's going to translate, but the thing is, you also get him for multiple years, which is something that is, you know, normally in a transfer that's highly productive like Jermaine, we only got him for one season. So I'm not saying he's going to be Jermaine 2.0, but I think he kind of fits the bill. He has that attitude, and he looks like he can be a plus player for Florida State for at least a few seasons to come. And he's a trash talker. They say he's one of the biggest trash talkers on the team, which I like. You just want that kind of attitude from your defensive line. You want that nasty kind of aggressive defensive line that gets in your head. And so I think Verse is going to be one to watch over the course of the season. I definitely think there's going to be some bit of adjustment period, just getting used to the speed of Power 5 versus FCS. But even through spring and fall camp, he obviously showed out. He was a name that was called frequently. So he looks like he's going to be the part. We just got to see it on the field to know for sure. And he was a big name in the portal. He was a big get for the staff. There was a lot of really good programs that were after Verse, so this was a huge landing for them. Some of the other guys, the younger guys you could see on the outside, Patrick Payton and Byron Turner, they don't have a whole lot of production and experience. They're still younger guys, obviously, so you're not sure what you're going to get from them, but these guys, the staff is really high on them, and they definitely think that they have now progressed to the point where they can be contributors on this team. And so that's probably some of the guys you'll see when you get deeper down in the rotation. You also have Leonard Warner there. He is feels like he's been here for 20 years. He's a redshirt senior. I believe he's a six-year senior, or super senior or whatever, 6'4", 247 pounds. He does give you a lot of experience at the position. He may not be the most dominant player, but at least you're not rolling out like a true freshman defensive end or something like that. So again, when you look at the front, the biggest thing was seeing how impactful that pass rush was for Florida State last year and how much it really helped them. And I think it's something that they will be able to produce a pass rush this season. It's just probably not going to be quite to the level that it was last year, obviously with the holes they have to fill. But I am excited about this group. I really am. And another group that I'm also excited about when you move back a level is the linebackers. I think Tatum Bethune is probably one of the most underrated and going to be the most impactful transfers on the defensive side of the football. Florida State, this was a big get for them, in my opinion. He's one of them guys that you can just know he's out there making plays. You don't have to keep an eye on him and worry about what he's doing. His 2021 stats, of course, this was at Central Florida. He played in 12 games, 641 snaps, so a lot of experience. PFF grade was 75. He had 108 tackles. So that was one thing I went back and did the research on just to see. Florida State has not had a 100-plus tackling linebacker since Reggie Northrup in 2014. And if he could put together a similar season as he did last year to have a linebacker with over 100 tackles, that would be, I mean, it would be huge to have that in the middle of your defense. Because the Florida State linebacker position has been something that's been kind of hit or miss lately. You just haven't seen a whole lot of consistent production or dominant players in a while. And I think Tatum Bethune can be that guy for you. Last season, he in coverage, he had a reception rate of 82.8% against him. So, that, of course, that could be a little bit better. He gave up one touchdown, but he did have two interceptions. And he also had two forced fumbles. So he's just, again, he's a productive, very productive linebacker. He only had a missed tackle rate of 10.2%, which does sound a little high. But when you got a guy who's making 108 tackles, I mean, that's pretty good. And when you look at Louisville, which is one of your common opponents that they played last year, he graded out at 88.3. Now, he didn't play a lot. He only played 19 snaps, but he had a good grade there. Florida was not so good, 49.5. Now, and that one he had 69 snaps, so he played a lot more snaps. And you just want to see him continue to take that next step to the next level and just really kind of have that bomb senior season and hopefully, like I said, just produce another 100-tackle season, which would be absolutely huge for FSU. Either way, I think he's coming in as your best linebacker. Opposite of him, you're going to have Kalen DeLoach, who I feel like really came into his own last year. He, towards the end of the season, he started really flashing, making big plays. The Boston College game was a good game that he had. His 2021 stats was he played 12 games, 685 snaps. PFF grade was 61.1. So, again, he's got some room to improve. 69 tackles, which was good. Tackles for loss, 6.5. 1 sack, 1 interception, no forced fumbles. So, obviously, again, you have some room to improve there, but he's got another year of experience, another year in the weight room, and another year working under now new linebacker coach Randy Shannon. So, hopefully, you would expect that to help. But he's an experienced guy who had a up-and-coming season last year, and I definitely think that he'll be a solid contributor this year. You also have Amari Gaynor. Amari's kind of that tweener linebacker. He's sometimes had a hard time finding his place in this defense and how they want to use him. But, I mean, the guy is one of the best physical athletes on the team, and you just want to find a way to get him on the field. And when you look at his 2021 stats, he played in 12 games, 404 snaps. His PFF grade was 70.7. He had 59 tackles, 5.5 for loss, 1 sack, and 1 interception. So he can really, I mean, he's been a solid contributor over the course of his career. He's pretty much always had consistent grades and consistent production, which is good to have on your defense. Of course, you know, you want to see him finally have that year where he really puts it together and he really makes an impact for this defense. And I think that he is in a position to do that. And I definitely think Amari Gaynor is someone that you're going to be happy to have on your side of the ball, because now Florida State has more experience and depth at the linebacker position than they've had in a while. They may not be the most talented group, but they're pretty good. I mean, I think this is a very solid linebacker group for Florida State this year. You also have DJ Lundy, who was a solid performer in 2021. He returns almost 600 snaps of experience. He got praise from Mike Norvell before fall camp, where he just said, just wait till you see him in his physical development. He's had constant positive praise coming out of camp. So, DJ Lundy is also going to be a solid contributor. Again, you have now 3 to 4 guys that you feel good about. It's no different than the defensive tackles, though. These guys need to stay healthy, because once you get past the 2 or 3 guys that you really like, it can get a little questionable and it can drop off in talent and experience. But you still have names like Brandon Gant, who, again, is kind of that smaller linebacker who could also play in coverage. He has over 700 snaps of experience in his career, and I think he can be a big season. He looks locked on, engaged. He looks in great shape, and he just kind of gives you that different style of linebacker. You know, there's also true freshman Omar Graham Jr. You may not see a whole lot from a true freshman linebacker, given that they do have experience and some depth now, but the reports on this guy already are very impressive, and that's something that's exciting going forward, to know that you might have another good linebacker in the fold coming behind these guys. And hopefully Florida State has a successful enough season this year where you can start to see these younger guys at least get some burn in games, you know, like Duquesne and Louisiana and stuff like that. So just so you can see what they can produce on the field in a game situation. So I look for the linebacker position to definitely be improved this year and really just be able to help take this defense to a new level, because last year they were pretty good. They were pretty okay. You know, they made some plays, but there was definitely some weaknesses, and I think Tatum Bethune being added to the mix was huge. Kalen DeLoach and DJ Lundy with another year of experience. Amari Gaynor, you know, he's an upperclassman who's in great shape, and this group just looks to be really solid behind a good defensive line. Florida State's front seven, really their whole defense, but their front seven has a chance to be really good. Now, moving on to the secondary, I mean, obviously, Florida State hails itself as DBU, so you expect a lot out of these guys, and this year's no different. You definitely were Florida State was very fortunate to get Jamie Robinson, who had, you know, a really good season once he got moved back to safety, and he was an all-ACC safety for you. He's already been named to pretty much about every watch list you can imagine this season so far. He's a plus player. I think he's going to be the leader of the secondary, and he's going to have a dominant year because it is his money year as well. And so in 2021, he had 12 games, 755 snaps. PFF grade was 73.9. He had 85 tackles. Tackles for loss were 7.0. PBUs were 3. Interceptions were 4. He did lead the team. As far as coverage goes, he allowed a 70.7% completion percentage and 3 touchdowns. But again, I mean, he is definitely the staple of your secondary. And him and Akeem Dent really became one of the best safety duos in the conference. And they both returned this year. They're both experienced. And I'm excited about what these two can do, especially Jamie Robinson. Now that he's got more experience, he's more familiar with this defense. He's hard-hitting. He's a ball hawk. You know, one thing about him is even if he doesn't get an interception, we saw him a few times last year just get locked onto an offensive player as they're still moving and just rip the ball out. And he did that multiple times last season. And that's a heady play that you want to see from a DB. If you're not at risk of losing the tackle and you can free the ball up, then go for it. And I really like watching Jamie Robinson play. I'm really excited about what he's going to accomplish this season. And again, once you move next to him, you also have Akeem Dent, one of the better safety duos in the conference. Dent by far had his best season yet. He was much improved in coverage compared to the last few seasons. 2021 stats, he played in 10 games, 521 snaps. PFF grade was 68.7, 44 tackles, 0 for loss, 4 PBUs, only 1 interception. But he did hold opposing receivers to 52.6% completion rate and 0 touchdowns. So these two are going to be a strength for Florida State moving forward this season. And when you couple the front 7, who we think are going to be able to hold the run at least, create some pretty good pressure, you have a solid linebacker group, you got strong safeties, that makes you feel pretty good about your defense so far. And then when you move out to the other set positions in the secondary, you had Amarion Cooper last year who busted onto the scene in his freshman campaign and just really had a big year, kind of a breakout year. He played in 8 games. He didn't start the whole season, but once he did, he worked his way into a starting role with his impressive performance. He played in 8 games, 267 snaps. PFF grade was 73.9. He had 16 tackles, 0 for loss, 4 PBUs, 2 interceptions. He had the lowest completion percentage against him allowed on the team at 31.3%. He did give up 2 touchdowns, but again, you know, you got a guy out there who's just a true freshman. He's coming out and he has the lowest percentage of completions against him on the team at only 31.3% as a freshman. You would think, they say you see the most improvement in year 2 most of the time, and when you see him coming into this year, he's already he's already on the depth chart that got released today, actually. He's got one of the starting spots. And so, you know, you're just excited about what Amarion Cooper can do. He looks like, honestly, he has the potential to be one of the next really good or great DBs to come out of Florida State. I won't quite give him that crown yet. But again, I mean, he had an impressive freshman debut, and you got this guy for multiple more years now. And I think he's going to have a great season this year. At the nickel position, you have Kevin Knowles II. According to the depth chart, he has been named starter. And he was another young DB who burst onto the scene last year. He became a starter later in the season, put together a really solid year. Teams did go after him a lot. He had the highest number of targets in 2021. You know, they're trying to maybe expose that young guy. But he held his own. He only allowed 56.1% completion percentage and 0 touchdowns. So he'll have some competition at the season, you know, at the position this year, but he's already been named starter, and I'm just really encouraged by just seeing a lot of these young DBs that are already stepping up that you know you're going to have for years to come, and they're only going to get better with experience. And so looking at year two, I'm really excited about that secondary. And the other thing to keep in mind about the secondary is they do have a fair amount of depth to be excited about. This is actually a very deep secondary because you're looking at, you still have a lot of guys like your other starting corners, Renardo Green, who he's also put together a good camp and the staff feels good about what he can do. And you still look at, you have guys behind them. You have Jerrion Jones, who's experienced. You have Shaheem Brown, who's experienced. You have Jarquez McClellan, who's experienced. And, you know, and these guys have shown flashes. You have Azaria Thomas, who, I mean, from what all reports, from what everybody's saying, he is going to be the next great DB from Florida State. He already plays like an NFL draft pick. I personally haven't seen him play live. I can't wait to see it. I'm really excited about his potential. And, you know, I believe that he may end up battling for a starting position by the end of the year, because when you have a guy who has that much talent, you just can't, it's hard to keep him off the field. And you still have Sam McCall sitting right behind him, who, you know, he's a five-star with a lot of potential too. And then you also have Travis Jay, who's a very talented athlete. We just haven't seen a whole lot from him so far. They brought in Louisville transfer Greedy Vance. We basically just kind of traded him for Jarvis Brownlee, which is your main loss in the secondary. He had a lot of experience, a lot of snaps. He did grade out pretty good last year, but, and I liked his play style. I mean, I'm not going to hate on the guy other than the one Hail Mary that he obviously just, I don't know what happened there, but he was a good player that I would have definitely liked to have back this year, but I don't think it's a huge loss there. Because you do have Greedy Vance that comes over. You also have Jacksonville State transfer Malik Feaster, who he got a late start in camp. So you're looking probably at a more depth piece there. But again, that's what you need to have success over the course of a season, is you need depth in case something happens. You still have five-star Damori Tate on the roster, who we haven't seen really much of anything yet. But again, you have this depth. You have talented depth. They just may not have a whole lot of experience. Obviously, you want your starters to stay in the game, and they're your most talented players. But if you got into a jam or something, you have at least another guy or two at every position that you feel comfortable putting in. And a lot of the guys that I mentioned, like Travis Jay, Sidney Williams, Renardo Green, Jarquez, Jerrion, they all return over 900 snaps of experience. And so that is really positive to have in your secondary. And hopefully, gone are the days of seeing opposing players running wide open where there's no DB even in the TV frame. Hopefully those days are gone. Hopefully the miscommunications and the blown assignments are a thing of the past. And I think that's where having a leader who's got now multiple years in the system, like Jamie Robinson and a lot of these other guys, I think that is where you'll see it pay off the most, is having that kind of quarterback of the defense back there. Last year, Florida State, they did face three of the top 25 offenses from last year, Wake Forest, Miami, and NC State, passing offenses, that is. And they face all three of those again, all of them which returned their starting quarterbacks from last season. But the good news is, last year, Florida State held all three of those teams under their season passing averages. So you already had a secondary last year who held every single one of the top 25 passing offenses under their average season average yardage, and now you're returning the same guys who are more experienced, and on the opposite side of the ball, they have more questions than they did last year. So again, now you do have to factor in that you don't have Jermaine Johnson and Keir Thomas, who are going to be putting constant pressure on the quarterback, which obviously helps the secondary. But again, you still have some guys that you like at the position, and they will be tested early and they will be tested often. I'm still hesitant on buying in on Jaden Daniels as a passer, but LSU does have some talented receivers, and I'm sure they're going to take some shots with Kayshon Boutte, so they're going to be tested early. And then you're going to get Louisville right after that. Malik Cunningham is a dynamic athlete. They're going to have to try and contain him, which, again, when you have a much better linebacker group, I feel a lot better about them being able to limit his production just by having a better linebacker group, a more experienced secondary. But again, these guys are going to be tested this year, and we're going to need them to perform to help Florida State have the season that we think they can. And if the defensive line performs like we think, and this is my motto for this whole season, can this potential equal production? Now, the difference between the offense and the offense, you have a lot of guys you feel really good about, you're excited about, but you still got to see it on the field because they haven't produced a whole lot. On defense, you do. You have a lot of production that you can hang your head on or your hat on and say, we know these guys can perform at a Power 5 level. But now, can they take that next step? Can they play in their best form from game one instead of waiting till halfway through game four? And if they can do that, and Adam Fuller can call a good defense with the help of Randy Shannon and the pieces that they've added, I think Florida State can have another really good season on defense. And just like I said, hopefully it doesn't take them four games to figure it out and really start to get their stuff together. But this could be another top 10 Power 5 unit grade, like PFF said. And you just think that this is going to be the strength of the team. Florida State is going to have to rely on their defense a lot because the offenses should be vastly improved, but I still don't think it's going to be some kind of lethal offense like Wake Forest, for instance. Their defense is not good, but their offense is so good that it almost doesn't matter. They can win a lot of shootouts. I don't see Florida State having that type of offense to be able to just run up and down the field and score at will in a shootout. They're going to, I feel, do have enough weapons on offense to make it, to be able to score. But again, Florida State's really going to need to be able to lean on this defense and trust that they can carry the workload for the times that the offense struggles, which is kind of what we saw from Clemson last year. They had such a good defense that even though their offense was terrible, it kept them in a lot of games. Now, I don't think they're going to be a top 10 defense in a lot of categories, but they can be a very productive unit, and I think they're going to have a good year. So I just want to tack on special teams on the end, because special teams, I feel like, is something that needs to be talked about because of how bad it was last year, and truthfully the year before too. They just have to get better. And it was far from special last year. Now, that's not necessarily the kicking, which obviously could improve as well. But, you know, kickers are kickers. There's not a whole, I mean, what are you going to do? Go out and tell the guy to kick better? Of course he's trying to make every field goal. Until you make one, every one, there's always room for improvement. But when you look at the return game and the special teams defense, Florida State was just bad across the board. They finished 70th in kick return, 122nd in kick return defense, 118th in punt return, and 81st in punt return defense. And one thing that doesn't really show up on the stat sheet is the amount of lost yardage due to they couldn't figure out when to catch a fair kick, when to let it roll. They put multiple guys back there, but never really had an impact guy that was able to figure it out. And you're also, that has a lot to do with Florida State being 125th in average starter field position, which when you have an offense that's not entirely powerful but functional, but you start them, I think their average starting field position was around the 25-yard line. When you put them, you have basically no return game, and when you're forcing your offense to start deep on their own side of the field almost every time, it's not a recipe for success. You also have to replace your leading kick returner in Jayshon Corbin, but I mean, I will say that the crazy thing about this is Florida State has not returned a punt for a touchdown since 2018, and they have not returned a kick for a touchdown since, obviously, the one we all remember, Kermit Whitfield's famous return in the national championship game in 2013. That is hard to believe that they have not been able to do, I mean, you know, really a whole lot. I mean, since Greg Reed was back there returning punts for Florida State, we just haven't had an impact player back there, and it does make a difference. And the thing that's so head-scratching when you factor in the kickoff and punt defense as well is Mike Norvell is actually been known for some pretty good special teams. His 2019 Memphis team was actually second-ranked unit in all of college football on special teams, which makes it even more confusing as to why the special teams has been so bad. Now, Norvell has addressed this in the offseason, and hopefully it's something that they can get fixed, because when he knows it's bad, and when you're a team like Florida State who is fighting for every win that you get, it's not that special teams needs to win you the game, because I don't know that special teams really is going to win you too many games, but it can't hurt you. It can't be a hindrance, and that's what it has been for Florida State for far too long. Now, I think you are going to get an immediate boost at the positions with some of the transfers you bring in. You get Micah Pittman. I would have really loved to have had Winston Wright this season, because not only would he have came in as your most productive receiver, he also would have came in as an impact kickoff returner. I'm not confident when we're going to see him. It was encouraging to see him back out at practice, but I don't really think he's been that active, so I think it may be later than sooner that we see him, unfortunately. But you also do have some names like Deuce Spann, Sam McCall that have been mentioned. Actually, they have those two listed as your kick returners, Deuce Spann and Micah Pittman, with Sam McCall being in the rotation with Deuce Spann. Of course, they think that Deuce Spann is such a great athlete that you really want to find ways to get the ball in his hand. Obviously, we know his primary position is receiver, but he did transition from the quarterback position, I think it was like 2 years ago, so he doesn't have a whole lot of experience at the position. But with his size and his athletic ability, you want to try and get him the ball any way you can, and I'm excited to see what he can do in the return game. I think he has a very good chance to make an impact, and Micah Pittman is a very sure-handed returner. I think he'll make an impact, especially on punt return. So when you look at his time at Oregon, in 2021, he fielded 27 punts, he had zero muffs, and 15 returns for 151 yards, which was an average of 10.1 yards per return, which was over double what the entire FSU team average was in 2021. And Florida State muffed four punts last season. So clearly, Pittman is going to be an upgrade at the position. You obviously expect him to make an impact in the receiver room as well, but this may even be where you see the biggest impact from him, because this was just such an abysmal aspect of the game for Florida State last year, and it's something that I really, really hope they can get improved. If we do see Winston Wright come back, I'm not sure they're going to want the added risk of him returning kicks, but if he does, he would also be an instant upgrade. I mean, he had 23 returns for 622 yards in 2021 at West Virginia, averaged 27 yards a return, and had a touchdown. And Florida State had 514 yards on 26 returns with zero touchdowns. So he would be able to make an impact. I'm just not confident that we're going to see that this season. But either way, they just got to get better. And they devote a lot of time to their special teams, and they're willing to use the starters. So this is something that hopefully will get cleaned up this season, because if nothing else, you at least need it to be kind of like a neutral thing where it doesn't hurt you, it doesn't really help you, but man, if you could really turn this into an advantage, I don't expect them to go from one of the worst special teams in the country to one of the best in one season, but I mean, special teams really can't improve that fast, because it's all about having some talented returners and just committing more time and completing the process better, and they do, like I said, they devote a lot of time to it, so if you could get anything close to what Norvell got out of his special teams units in the past, it could really help you. And like I said, in a game where Florida State has half their games to me are toss-ups this year, if you can have special teams be an asset for you, it could mean a win or two. I mean, it's that important when you have a team that's going to have as many close games as FSU. As far as kicking, obviously you have Ryan Fitzgerald has been named the starter. As far as kicking specialist goes, last year's PFF grade was 66.6. He was 92.5% on PATs. He did have three misses, which you'd like to see get cleaned up. His field goals, he was 10 of 13. Obviously, that could be a little bit better. He was money from 20 to 29 yards at 3 for 3. 30 to 39, he was 4 of 5. And then 40 to 49, he was 2 of 3. 50 plus, he was 1 of 2. So there's obviously a little bit of room for improvement there, but I think Fitzgerald with another year, he can be a pretty good kicker. You just really want to see consistency and get the gimmies. You know, don't miss the PATs, don't miss the short ones, because Florida State was a great red zone team last year. They were great at converting trips to the red zone into points. I think they had 32 consecutive trips, which currently leads the country coming into this season. And so you just want to see him have a good year, and you just want to walk out. When he walks out there, you don't want to be nervous, which is something that I feel every time I watch him walk out there when it's not necessarily an Aguayo brother. As far as punting goes, Master Mono is going to return again for your punting as your punter this year. He had 61 punts last year. PFF grade was 67. He had an average yards per attempt of 42.7. Net punting was 41 yards. He had his long was 65. He had 19 punts inside the 20, so that's pretty good. Average hang time was 3.68. He doesn't get a lot of hang time on his punts, but again, he was still young, and so another season with experience, and I do think that he can be an asset to your special teams. So with all that, we're going to go ahead and kind of wrap this up. Like I said, I just wanted to tack special teams onto the end because it is really an important aspect of the game, especially when it's been so bad, because it has hurt Florida State. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And it could be an asset if they can flip this around. And again, I think it could make the difference in a game or two if it came down to the line. And so hopefully it's something we see fixed. I think it will get fixed with the additions. I think the defense has a chance to really be a special unit this year. Again, no slow starts because it's going to hurt you. And, you know, you got to come out ready to swing from game one. And so I look for a big improvement this year just from talent, experience, depth, and, again, another year in strength and conditioning. So Florida State should have a good defense, and I really think if they can put it all together – in all phases, they have a really high potential this year. But it's just you got to see it translate on the field. And the defense, I'm a lot less worried about than the offense, by far. This can be a really good unit. But, you know, you just need to – if you could get somewhere like top 30 defense, would just be astronomical for Florida State. Because, again, you want to have the best season possible always. But Florida State right now really needs to get that momentum going. They need to get a winning record back to a bowl game and just have some – no, don't get blown out anymore. Just have no embarrassing losses. Get some respectable wins. And I think they're going to be able to do that by leaning on their defense. So I appreciate you guys checking this defensive preview out. Make sure you go check out the next episode. I've already recorded it. It's going to be coming out right after this one. It's going to be the full schedule game-by-game breakdown preview, kind of where I think they're going to finish win-loss. I tell you what, I mean, the more I look at some of these games, the more I have to sit here and tell myself, are you buying in a little too much on the success for this team? Do you really think they could be that good? And I mean, like I said, they have a really – if they play up to their potential on both sides of the ball, namely this defense, Florida State can surprise some people and have a better season than people expect. And so I look for that to be led by the defense. So go check out that schedule breakdown. I think you'll learn a lot about the opponents from it. I think you'll really enjoy it. And it might change your outlook on the season. Again, nothing's guaranteed, but at least for the first time in a long time, you're excited about what this team could accomplish. And with that being said, make sure you check out plantthespear.com for everything that we do, everything that we put out. Make sure you join us on social media. I'd love to hear from you guys, see what you think about all our content, and just get in on the conversation. It is officially game week. Kickoff is this Saturday against Duquesne at 5 o'clock. Hopefully, Florida State can start the season 1-0 for the first time since 2016. Hopefully, it's in blowout fashion. And I look forward to the season. And just what this team can accomplish. So once again, I just want to thank you guys for all your support, and I do appreciate everybody tuning in. I do appreciate all the listens. So thank you so much for that, and I look forward to getting started covering some actual football games this season. And so make sure you tune in for that. Thanks for listening, and go Noles.